Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Howdy, howdy, folks. Welcome back to Hoot and Half. I'm your host, Matt King, with my co-host here, Mike Sheffer.
That's
and our
me.
Good, good, good friend and our favorite creator on the internet, Miss Brooke Averick.
Yay, everybody. Please. It's Brooke.
Thank you for having me. You were literally born to do the howdy, howdy, howdy.
You think so?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm from Texas. It's
were born to be like a presence.
What's your go-to like greet if you were like...
I've been doing this for what, like 3 years? Every single podcast, I'm just like... Well, you know what time it is and everything like that. And so I don't have the like radio host gene that you have.
How is the pod right now? Because, you know, Connor has moved to New York.
Yeah.
You have a dummy, mannequin, a dummy. Who put that together? What is that?
That is, I don't know. That's something that like existed at that studio for a long time, even before Brooke and Connor.
Okay.
It's just like a dummy and then a huge monitor over the dummy that we put Connor's face on.
Got it.
Yeah.
It's so seamless and smooth though. It still feels like he is in the room with you.
I think it's fine. A lot of people don't feel that way, which is fine because it is temporary. We're working on a like split screen type of situation where it's like, like you're both kind of in the same room.
Like the toast.
Yes.
Yes.
Except for, I guess we will have different backgrounds, but it'll be more... Hopefully more seamless.
Right.
But
does he, do you ever still plan like if he's going to come in town for you to make sure like it happens in studio if it's possible?
Yes, we'll have a few in person coming up when he's in town. I was supposed to be in New York this week and I was going to record at his apartment, but my trip was canceled. But yeah, whenever we're back and forth.
Why was your trip canceled?
Well, Matt, I was going to see a show opening night. It's called Just in Time. It is Jonathan Groff's new show about Bobby Darin. And they canceled the first two performances. They basically delayed opening night. And so the next performance was like the 31st or something. I was supposed to see it on the 28th. And then the 31st was obviously sold out immediately.
Oh, no.
Because people were like rushing. Yeah, so I was so sad. And that's why I was going. Get this. It gets worse. It gets worse. Just when you think it can't get worse, it gets worse. I was also going to see the Jonathan Larson Project. Do you know what that is?
Can
you
I
know
guess
Jonathan
what the,
Larson?
Yes, of course.
Of course
I love Jonathan Larson.
Of course.
Massive Rent fan.
We know
big
and love Jonathan. Yeah.
Boom
yeah.
Fan.
We speak about him ad nauseum. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, cats named after him and everything like that. I talk about it too much. I'll move on. But I was going to go see the Jonathan Larson Project since I was in town seeing my other Jonathan.
Right.
So I had canceled my trip because I was like, I'll just go see the Jonathan Larson Project once I go back for Jonathan's show another time. They cut the Jonathan Larson Project short. The last performance will be on March 30th now.
No!
Was
this
on
Broadway?
Can a girl catch a break?
Yeah. Was this on Broadway or off?
Off
Broadway. That's even more devastating.
Devastating.
Like, you want to hope an off-Broadway thing keeps going and then it gets on to Broadway.
Devastating. Devastating.
Who decides that?
I don't know. I guess maybe they weren't making enough money to keep going. But if I had known that that was the case, I would have still gone to New York just to see that.
Right.
I thought I had more time.
Oh, Brooke.
But that's the moral of the story. Jonathan Larson also thought he had more time.
Mm.
I should have gone anyway. I should have known.
Facts.
Yeah, facts on God.
What goes down in the Jonathan Larson Project?
It's just a collection of his unreleased works that they've set to a musical.
Oh.
And I don't know the plot or anything like that, but it's all of his stuff.
Who's like leading it? Like who made it happen? Was it someone who was like close with him at
I
least?
I don't know if it was somebody that was close to him. It was definitely someone who's very passionate about his work. And I would assume that like his estate and family has to kind of sign off on that type of stuff. So I guess
I wonder who in Jonathan Larson's family is his estate. Like are his parents like still alive or is it just like a weird like brother? Or okay, it's his parents. Do you think he would trust them, his parents, with his own creative like control?
Well, I just saw a lot of people like, oh my God,
Anthony Rapp?
Anthony Rapp, yeah. The original Mark and Rent was like, Jonathan would have like just been over the moon about this.
Oh.
And I believe.
Yeah.
I believe him.
Yeah, because they were close.
Anthony.
He was in the original cast.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than something canceling last minute. For me, it was, a touring performance of one of my favorite musicals. My brother and I are massive fans of this musical, and we bought tickets and our plan
was... What musical?
Les Miserables, Brooke.
Yeah, damn.
Our plan was to take a bunch of gummies and go and just rock out and enjoy every bit of that. And I'm on my way to that little hardware store to pick up, I don't know, a new light bulb. I'm all jazzed up. I'm jamming out to Les Mis. And I get a call and I'm like, wait, this is from the Pantages Theater. I need to answer it.
Not the Pantages.
Pantages Theater, Brooke. And it was a pre-recorded message saying, we're sorry to inform you that your performance of Les Miserables will be canceled tonight due to a small fire that happened in the theater. And it was like postponed until further notice. But even the runtime of how long it was going to be in town, and we were leaving town the next day, we were not going to be able to see it.
So it's such a devastating thing to happen. I'm sorry it happened to you too.
Thank you, Brooke. I'm glad you understand.
Yeah, I'm glad you understand.
Do we think that there's like a bootleg recording of this that maybe exists somewhere on the internet, or have they indicated that they might record it and put it out for the world to see?
I don't think so. I think it's too kind of, not that it's like niche, but maybe it is. Like it's too...
I have heard that, you know, they do not like release recordings of Broadway productions.
It's so frustrating.
There is a recording of it, but it's only booked into the New York Public Library, and that you can go into the New York Public Library and check out a performance of the video of the Broadway show.
For any show?
For any show. I'm pretty sure you can see the original Broadway cast recording of Wicked, you know, with Idina Menzel and Kristen Chenoweth. From 2003, but you have to go check it out, and you go into like a private room. I don't know if it's on VHS or DVD or whatever type.
You have to watch at the library.
You have to watch it with your headphones and stuff.
I have been searching high and low for a copy of the 2019 Little Shop of Horrors Off-Broadway cast. It's Jonathan Groff, Christian Borle, like just like an all-star cast, and I can't find anywhere. I've been deep in the Reddit bootleg community.
Hopefully the off-Broadway shows are included in the New York Public Library.
I would
Library.
Hope so, Matt, and I will check that out next time I go.
Our theater teacher in high school would fly to New York just to go watch performances of shows we were doing at our high school, write notes and steal little moments and things and bring it back. And I bet
how fabulous.
I wonder, though, if that you could like secretly bootleg those videos while
I
you're watching
thinking,
it.
I was thinking like... If you could have, it would have been done by now, I feel like. So you must, it must be like.
Really difficult. You know, library
taking your driver's,
is...
like DMV vibes.
Yeah, or you have just like a person there who's monitoring you, watching it, making sure. That would be a fun job, though. You just get to sit and watch musicals all day and make sure that nobody records it.
Wow. That to me is like the Met, like that archive. Like that would be my like, whoa.
Truly. I saw a play. I did see a play when I was in New York, though.
What'd you see?
Oh, Mary.
Oh, how was it?
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And I was hesitant. I was nervous because I really wanted to see it with Cola Scola. You know, he's the writer and creator of it. I'm a massive fan of his comedy. And obviously his run of playing Mary Todd Lincoln ended, and Betty Gilpin, the actress, replaced him. And I was like, hopefully she's good. Just as good. Phenomenal.
Oh,
I've never
fabulous.
Laughed so hard for a during a show. And it's like 90 minutes, no intermission.
Oh, that's, I didn't know.
I think 80 minutes, and it flies by like that.
Wow.
Loved it. So
that's great. I don't know much about it, but I do want to see it.
So Brooke, you got a new cat, right?
My God, you guys. Yes.
You did.
I did.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Basically, I've had my one cat, Jonathan, who's the love of my life. Mm-hmm. He is just like an all around, like he's the friend. I didn't know cats could be this friendly. Like if there's a group of people in a room, he has to be there. Like he has to be in the mix of things. He's nuzzling up on everyone.
You struck gold with this cat.
He's a social butterfly. I've never seen a cat like that. And he's a snuggler. He's almost too affectionate. But yeah, when I leave him alone in the house, a piece of me dies, especially because I have this big window that he always looks through, and I just see him watching me like as I leave. So I wanted another cat because I love cats, but I really wanted it for him.
Mm-hmm. They need a buddy.
They need a buddy.
You got to get your pet a pet.
Yeah. So I decided officially, I had been thinking about it a while. I decided officially I was going to do it on Sunday. I reached out to Friends of Normie, which is a rescue in LA. Amazing if anybody's looking for a
cat. Is this who you got Jonathan from?
No, this is not who I got Jonathan from.
Okay, got it.
And I was at his foster family's house by Monday, brought him home yesterday. That was Monday.
Did you look at pictures before? Were you looking for like a type of cat? Because he kind of looks just like Jonathan, right?
I was talking to the woman who runs the rescue, and I was like, I basically want another Jonathan. And she was like, Romeo was his name, is his name. I'm going to rename him, but I haven't yet.
Okay,
I've been testing out a few different names. I've just been calling him Bob.
Bob is a great name for a cat. It's reliable.
Because I'm thinking Robert. Anyway, we can get into that later. But brought him home. And because he is he came right up, like nuzzling immediately, purring. And his foster mom was saying, like, he loves other cats. Like, he just wants to follow them around all the time.
Were there any in the litter or other cats up for adoption?
Found on the street.
Oh, whoa, a street cat.
Yeah, and he's so lovely and just the sweetest boy. And Jonathan, too, every time he's been around other cats, he's just obsessed with them, like, following them around everywhere. So, like, this is great. They will be, like, a match made in heaven. And you are supposed to keep cats separate for a while before you introduce them, you bring a new cat into the house.
For socialization purposes?
Because they can be very territorial, yes. Especially the one who's already lived there, so Jonathan in this case. But I, and even the foster mom was like, if these are two extremely friendly cats who've had only like great experiences meeting other cats, like you can try to see what would happen if you intro them right away. So I brought Bob home, kind of just set him out to Jonathan. He was shy, so he ran under my bookshelf. Jonathan was like very curious, like walking around slowly, and then went under the bookshelf to keep him company. And there was like the most gorgeous 10 minutes of John just like holding out his paw and touching Bob. And just like, it kind of looked like, hey, babe, like, it's okay. Like, yeah. I'm your little brother, because Bob is older.
Yes. Oh, Bob is
older.
Bob
is 10 months, Jonathan 6 months.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden, Satan entered Jonathan's body. He let out a scream. Humans can't even make this sound. And this is my gentle little purring sweet baby. I mean, I have never heard a sound like it in human history, let alone feline history. Oh my God, horrifying. And then he kind of lunged for Bob.
Oh no.
And then Bob ran into my room under my bed. And so Bob really stayed under my bed, rightfully so, for eternity until today. I was able to get Bob to his own room because I have a two-bedroom. I was able to kind of get him set up in my office.
Okay.
Got his litter box in there, and now he's stable in there. But John was screaming all night because I couldn't let him in my room because Bob had claimed my room under my bed.
Oh, no.
So he's screaming, clawing, like I've never experienced something. I didn't sleep for 1 second.
Are you doing any like research to figure out how to better expose socialization between cats?
Yeah, I'm going to do like a brief meeting every day today already. It's a shit show.
Were you having second thoughts at all? Like, was this a good idea to begin with?
I'm hopeful. This does seem to be. I didn't know about the screaming, but this does seem to be the case for most cats meeting each other, which I knew. I just thought my cats were going to be the exception, which they weren't. I'm hopeful that it will be okay and that John will.
It takes time.
Acclimate.
When you hear
brother.
That cat sound, does it trigger this just primal instinct in your body of like
it
something?
It sounds like someone's being killed. Yeah. Like it's literally like. No,
oh,
it's
not,
not
that. Is it
it's a scream. Yeah. It's a scream.
But like you feel.
I can't even. I've wanted to like record it to ask someone like, is this normal? But I can't because I have to be like all hands on deck. Like,
yes,
like it is scary. So John's been doing that now still like through the door of Bob's room. And
OK,
so, yeah, it's very bad.
Has Kat been giving you advice? Because Kat, you know, Kat Wellington, she had got a new cat, another orange cat as well.
Yeah.
But I know she had to quarantine one of her cats because
it had
fleas.
It had fleas.
Okay.
Yeah. So they stayed separate for like almost a week, I think. I don't know. I mean, the way I feel right now with the way Jonathan is behaving, like it will be months.
Okay.
But hopefully it will just be like a few days, but.
I think so too. You know, cats get a little bored. They're going to get bored of the drama and then they're just going to accept it.
I mean, I have never heard anything like this from the sweetest little boy, but Bob is to die for. Bob is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he will just like crawl on my lap and purr, and he's so cuddly and he's the best. I I freaking love him. He's a great guy, but.
Well, I hope they get along, Brooke.
Thank you. Yeah. So that's been.
Do you ever eat with your cats? Or, well, with Jonathan, I guess, for the time that you had? I just saw a TikTok recently that cats really enjoy eating with you at the same time.
Yes.
Like they really love it.
And that's also one of the reasons in the morning why cats are so excited to see you is because I've heard this, that cats don't realize that we're a different species. They think everything is a cat. So when they see you in the morning and they don't know if you've eaten or not, that's why they're so excited to see you, because they're like, oh, you made it through the night, you're alive. And that's why they're very affectionate in the morning, because they are happy that you survived the night.
Yes, I knew about the survival.
Whoa.
Yeah.
But like everything I learned about cats, I'm just like, oh, I love you more.
When it comes to college basketball and March Mania, one thing is for sure. Nothing's for sure. Upsets, buzzer beaters, Cinderella's advancing, top seeds going home early. It's all gonna happen. Bet the unexpected every upset every day with DraftKings Sportsbook.
With live betting, exclusive content, promos, and parlays, DraftKings is the ultimate college basketball destination for March.
First time, here's something special just for you, new DraftKings customers. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets instantly.
That's right, folks. That is quite an opportunity. If you're looking to get into DraftKings, now's the time. You should bet the unexpected with the DraftKings Sportsbook, because if you download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code MATTKING, that's code Matt King, for new customers to get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, Kansas, 21 plus age eligibility varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. New customers only. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/audio. And now, back to the episode.
Yeah, cats are really interesting.
Yeah.
And I was not a cat person either.
I wasn't
until
either.
Rick wandered in.
Yeah.
These street cats, I think that they are better cats than like the well-bred whatever ones, because a street cat will just appreciate a warm roof over their head and food every day. Whereas some of these like designer cats, they're like, oh, really? You're going to give me food? Yeah, well, I was eating, you know, lobster at Taylor Swift's house last week. What do you got for me?
You're giving me fancy fees?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
They're streetwise.
Totally.
But they are very territorial. I will say, I agree with Matt, over time, this will get better. But this was last night that this incident happened? That you
I brought
sleep?
Bob home yesterday.
Whoa.
And so I couldn't sleep last night because I had Bob in my room.
Right. And he was, Jonathan's like, what the fuck? That's my room. Why can't I come in? I know.
Do you have a cat cam or any way? Like, do you keep a visual on your cats when you're away from them?
No, because I didn't want one, because I didn't want to see Jonathan alone. Like, it would have made me too upset. But now, hopefully, if they're able to join eventually, I would love to spy on them.
Have a little cat cam with like a treat dispenser as well.
Yes.
Just to kind of like give them attention.
Yeah, totally.
What a beautiful time we live in.
Yeah.
If I had that as a kid, I would be like my go-to app all the time to talk to my cat.
Yeah.
I love my cat.
Aw.
I just wish Patricia would be a little bit more into cats. I genuinely think if Patricia was not allergic to cats, we would have a cat by now.
Is she actually allergic? Because I used to say I was allergic just because I didn't like
Brooke,
him.
Look, I'm kind of allergic to him.
You can really train yourself.
Well, having a cat, I never, as a kid, never had any symptoms. But I feel like once you are not exposed to a cat very often and you start messing with one, sure, I get a little itchy.
Yeah.
I don't need an EpiPen. I'm not going to die. But I get the symptoms. You just got to adapt to it. But I heard there's a shot that you can take that, like, I don't know, puts all the cat allergies in you and basically
like a vaccine? A cat scene?
In a way. In a way. But I don't know.
You should look into that.
Yeah, I hope you can get a cat one day.
Patricia's on the bad side of cat TikTok, where I feel like all she does is see videos of like cats like making crazy sounds and getting in fights
and
stuff.
Don't let her near my house anytime soon.
I think in the next week or two, it'll be fine. They'll get the lay of the land.
I hope so.
They'll smell each other out. They'll know that you're the safe go-between, and they'll be best buds before you know
it. I hope so.
It always happens.
So, Brooke, but we talked about Bob. You're thinking about Robert.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to link all that back up. I have not talked to you. I'm sure you've talked about it on your own pod, but you got to sit down with one of your dream top-tier people, Mr. Robert Pattinson.
Yeah.
How was that? How are you doing post-Robert Pattinson, and how was the whole experience?
I feel like Well, here's the thing. I got an email from Warner Brothers. It was like, would you like to interview like Robert Pattinson and Bong Joon-ho and Naomi Ackie for Mickey 17? And I was like, no, thank you, though. Because I just like didn't see that for myself. Like sitting down with, like I have been like so obsessed with Rob since Twilight. Like truly such like a fundamental person like in my life and at such a formative time.
Have you ever seen him in the flesh?
I had never seen him in the flesh. So the thought of like sitting like even anywhere near him, I was like, that's not, no, thank you so much for asking, but no.
Yeah.
And then my agents were like, we really think you should. Like, I think you'll regret it if you don't. And so I've been trying to say yes more. And I was like, okay, I will ask them one question. Because
good.
I literally, like, the only way I felt like I could get through that if I was like, you're done after this question. Like, I think if I was sitting there for an extended period of time, I would have had, like, a freak out in the middle.
Yeah.
So I said I'm going to ask them one question. I couldn't remember the question if my life depended
on it.
Did
you have it written on a card?
I had to write it on a card and read it off of the card.
Okay. Okay. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. And I told them, I said, when I got there, when I sat next to Rob, I said, I can't memorize this. So I'm going to read it off of the card right now. And then I started reading it. And then Rob stuck his hand out to block the card. And that was the best moment of my life.
Oh!
What a funny, funny guy.
I did see
and
that clip.
Put it me was, right at ease.
Yeah. That was amazing.
He knew I was nervous, but he's great. He's great. You guys know Rob. He really was like just what I thought he was going to be. Like the perfect amount of like, I don't really want to be here, but like I respect the hustle. Like I'm here because I am, and I'm appreciative, but also don't want to be here, which I love.
One of the questions from the Brooke and Connor Facebook group that I'm an admin of did have a question about Robert Pattinson, and it was, how did he smell?
I don't remember anything.
Okay.
Yeah. I blacked it all out, but I will say, because I was able to do that, I feel like I can do anything.
Truly, Brooke?
Was it just the one question and that was it?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
You truly, wait, you can do anything?
Well, what was horrible is I show up and, well, it was kind of like pitched as like a happy hour. So I was like, oh, maybe I'll just be like mingling and it'll be casual. No, it's just like me at a studio. They were doing the BuzzFeed Puppies interview. So it was like a legit press day for them.
Oh, I know about the BuzzFeed Puppy interviews.
And it was me there and Reese. Feldman,
oh, yeah,
with the
of
movie
course.
Camera,
guy with camera.
Who is literally like the most talented interview. Like,
pro at it. I would actually
such
be
a pro.
So nervous knowing
I
if
saw
he was
Reese,
there.
I love Reese is the greatest.
It's a gem.
He's the greatest guy. I saw him and I was like, are you serious? Like, I can't be doing this with, like, I'm not going after Reese. Like,
yeah.
But he is such a calming presence, Reese, that I really started to feel better with him there. And he was so supportive. And I had like 2 hours of just kind of sitting there before going to interview, which was like hell. Just like the anticipation.
Were you within like visual of them while you were waiting?
I was not. They were just like in another room.
Oh, so you knew they were on.
I knew they were. I just had to walk through that door and there they were. But yeah, it was just 2 hours of like, am I going now? Am I going now? Am I going now? But that was the most nervous I've been in a really, really long time.
How was the exit? The moment it was over, was it smooth or did it feel awkward?
I felt.
Did you guys
hug?
Oh,
no.
We
stood up and like took a picture. And
did
so
you
we
still
were,
take one with Bong Joon-ho?
Yeah, they were all in the picture. It was me, Rob, Naomi, and director Bong.
Okay, got it.
And yeah, that was just like wild.
Did you get to watch the movie before
I
going
did.
In? How did you get to go to the premiere or how did you
no,
get to
it
see
was
it?
A screener.
Oh, badass.
Yeah.
They sent it to you?
Yeah.
You still got the link?
No.
Oh.
I don't.
Probably expired.
It expired.
Oh, bro.
But I was also feeling kind of guilty because I know that like Director Bong, I'm going to call him Director Bong because
yeah.
I love that. Is like for the movie community, like he's it.
True,
you know?
A true icon
he's like
of
a true
our time.
Icon, which I love and appreciate, but you know me, I like am not like a cinephile. So I felt bad and kind of guilty that I was like, Rob, when like there's yeah. this like living legend in front of me. And I was like really scared that cinephiles were going to be really mad at me. But they weren't, so that was nice.
That's good.
Yeah. But yeah, it was a really positive experience overall.
I will say visually, could not tell that you were nervous at all. It looked like you were on set of Brooke and Connor and just chilling. You were relaxed, funny, positive energy. as a viewer.
Oh, really?
I thought you crushed
it. That is
it.
Shocking to me.
You nailed it. It would have, like, I think you really leaned into yourself and how you would and should react in a moment like that. I think it would have come across very weird if you were just like trying to be somebody else that you weren't.
Right.
Like, it was very sincere.
And yes, authentic. It felt like, oh, this is how Brooke would be in the situation. And it was so, I feel like you comforted them because you're just so normal and not like.
That's sweet.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
But something I've learned is like, I have to say in those situations, I have to say I'm nervous.
Right.
First, because I think my therapist once said this, like naming the emotion helps.
Yeah. Mm.
And also like, I just, I don't know. It helps me to give context for, I feel like I have to give context should something happen.
Right.
Should I start like uncontrollably shaking? Like right. I need you guys to know the
that
state
is
I'm
good.
In.
I like that approach.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm always like trying to say I'm not nervous. I should be excited. As a way of like reframing it in my head.
Yeah.
But then in a way, I feel like I'm masking it and I'm fighting against it. But rather
than name the emotion.
Yeah. I think the idea is like if you name it or you identify it, then it removes like 50% of its power just by identifying it. Mm. Not all of it. You're still going to be nervous, but you take away a lot of the power by identifying what it is. But I think what you're thinking of maybe is like the butterflies thing where a lot of people get nervous when like, and then they'll have butterflies in their stomach, but also when you're excited. So it's like when things that are exciting happen in your life, you're usually getting butterflies. So you should lean into when you feel like you have the butterflies because it usually means something great is about to happen.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Love.
Love it.
And were you satisfied with Mr. Pattinson's answer to your question?
I was really sad. He didn't have one at first.
Yeah.
The question was like, if you could give one character you've played like another chance at living, like who would it be? And he didn't have one at first. Because he was like, I don't know. Classic Rob, you know? And then I was like, oh, I have one for you. And he was like, who? Cedric? And that just felt like, that was who I was thinking. So that felt like a really positive like connection between the two of us.
How many other different questions did you have planned for him? Like,
I didn't. I had one question.
Good. Okay. So you weren't like grappling with some other ones.
Yeah.
Got it.
Was the card handwritten or was it printed out?
I have it still. I'm going to keep it forever. Handwritten. I literally on it said, hi, my name is Brooke. Like I literally wrote out like, hello, nice to meet you. Because I was so scared I would just not be able to get
it's
access
smart.
The words.
Even the best of the best. They're using cue cards, Saturday Night Live, Conan O'Brien at the Oscars. Cue cards are totally reasonable.
So I was really happy to have that cue
card. And
then
we got his fingerprints on there.
Yes.
So if you ever want to frame him with a crime, you can do that.
Surely.
So now if an opportunity comes up and it's one of your top tiers, if it's Mr. Andrew Garfield.
Not doing that.
You couldn't even do Andrew Garfield now having this Robert Pattinson experience. You couldn't be
I think Andrew might be the one that I'm just like, let's give that one to someone else.
Okay. Okay. Matthew Gray Gubler.
Yeah. I think I could do that.
Do you think if you did see Matthew Gray Gubler again, and do you think he would remember you meeting you? No, not at all.
No.
And you would not bring it
up? Unfortunately, I guess not unfortunately, but unfortunately, he's developed like a pretty strong relationship with Connor.
Right. They keep running into each other.
They keep running into each other, and Matthew keeps addressing him by name like, hey, Connor, what's up, man?
Oh, boy.
So I would maybe say like, you know, my co-host.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is ironic because I'm the one that put you on his radar, by the way.
True.
No, I wouldn't say that, but maybe I would bring that up as a connection. I think I would tell him how much I love his books, because I feel like that's not something that everyone is saying to him.
Buttercup.
Yeah, Rumple Buttercup. I used to read that to my preschoolers.
You bought it for me.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Of course. No, I bought you The Kid with the Green Hand, his second one. I bought you Rumple.
You bought me Rumple Buttercup. I don't own Kid with the Green Hand.
Really?
Yet, Brooke.
Oh, sorry.
I do love Rumple Buttercup. No, it's okay, Brooke.
Yeah.
Brooke, how's your book coming along? I feel like, though, you probably talk about it a lot. You don't. Do people, like, ask you every time you see them, like, oh, hey, how's the book coming along? Are you sick of talking about it? Or
whatever
you want to say about your book, where you're at, let's hear it.
It's tough because it's, like, it really is my whole life right now. I'm still in the writing process. I'm, like, just having the time of my life. I feel like I finally am, like, so creatively and personally fulfilled, but I can't say much, which is tough for me because that's hard. That's something that's very challenging for me because I just talk about everything.
You hinted at something with Connor that you're reaching a point in the writing where it's something that you don't want to have to confront or it makes you cringe, but the character has to face it and you're like, I have to write it out. Have you gotten over that hump or are you still biting through it?
I'm at the tail end of that scene. Like, I got over the worst of it. Basically, I got to a point in the story. I've become, like, very enmeshed with the main character. Like, she is me, I am her, but also we're different. But, like, I just, I feel so deeply connected to her. And so I had to put her through a very awkward, like, cringy scenario at this part in the story. And I was, like, dreading writing it because it was just like, I don't want to do this to her. Like,
we'll be right back after a quick word from today's sponsor, Home Chef. Now, meal kits often market themselves as an easy meal prep solution, but they can often disappoint with complicated, overlong recipes that aren't really worth the effort. But fortunately, Home Chef knows that struggle and delivers fresh, delicious meal kits that respect your time.
Home Chef delivers fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Users of leading meal kits have rated Home Chef number one in quality, convenience, value, taste, and recipe ease.
Whether you prefer classic meal kits with pre-portioned ingredients, quick 30-minute recipes, oven-ready options, microwave meals, or a dedicated family menu, Home Chef has everything you and your family need for hassle-free, delicious dinners.
Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs. Plus, it's economical. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries.
And when meal planning ends up on the back burner, check out Home Chef's new 5-ingredient meals that simplify prep with super easy recipe steps using just 5 fresh, pre-portioned ingredients.
For a limited time, Home Chef is offering our listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life. And of course, free shipping on your first box. Go to homechef.com/hoot. That's homechef.com/hoot for 18 free meals and free dessert for life.
And once again, that's homechef.com/hoot. Check it out. Get your meals. Get some Home Chef food in your life. I promise you, you're going to love it. Must be an active subscriber to receive the free dessert. But it's so worth it, I promise you. We love it. And now, back to the episode.
Can a girl catch a break?
Is this the climax of the book? Or is this just a tough moment along the way?
A tough moment along the way, I would say. But I did it this past, last week. I wrote it.
Whew.
Yeah. So that was a relief to get through that. But it's kind of like one of the, you know, the low points that every character has to go through.
What's your writing process? Are you just typing on a laptop? Do you type a bit, walk around, think it through? Or are you like...
I usually have just been like typing at my laptop at my kitchen table or at a coffee shop down the street from me. But I just got a desktop. So I was like, oh, I'll be writing nonstop like in my nice new office on my desktop. I can't write at the desktop for some reason.
Right. It kind of feels like too formal. It feels too like stiff. You're not like fully comfortable.
I'm having
yourself.
Trouble with the desktop. But
what app do you use? Is it like a book writing app?
Just Google Docs.
Oh, just Google Docs.
Yeah.
Wow. Easy. Keeping it simple.
Yeah.
Do you have it set in a certain font? Or are you just doing like Times. Typical Times New Roman? Okay.
Really, I'm not fancy. And I feel bad. Like, everyone's like, what's your writing process? I don't have one. I just like write. I can only write when I'm in the mood.
Got it.
Yeah.
Are you writing every single day, though?
I try. I sit down at least.
Do you jump ahead at all?
No, I can't.
You can't. You gotta like chronologically.
That. Yeah. For whatever reason, my brain gets really upset with me if I jump ahead.
Have you been reading any other writers' writings about writing, like Stephen King's book about writing or another playwright's?
Yes.
Okay.
I read Stephen King's book. That was great.
Yeah.
Stephen King on writing.
Stephen
like his
King
memoir.
On writing. Yeah. That was helpful. I have not really followed any of his suggestions, even though I need to be doing that. He did say one thing that I have really taken to heart, which was that how much he hates adverbs.
Okay.
Remind the audience what an adverb is.
It's like lovingly, like the L-Y,
terribly.
Oh, okay. He's like, your reader should already know. Like, if you're like, oh, he smiled lovingly, like, your reader should know how he smiled based off of the context of what you're writing. Like, you should not, the lovingly should not be required.
Right.
That I've been, I mean, there are still, I still have some adverbs, but that's the one thing I really like remembered.
Yeah.
Do you go back in? Read what you've already written, like just start from the beginning and just make sure everything's like adding up. You know when like you're editing a video and you're already at that point and you're not even finished, but you're like, hold on, let's just go from the beginning and just follow this through, making sure I'm landing where I'm at and it all kind of makes sense. Do you do that?
Well, yes, but I sold my book as a partial. So my book was not done when I sold it. It was just 100 plus pages and like a outline of the rest. And so I spent so much time with those first 100 pages that I cannot, now I'm like, I can't look at you. So I have not been back to those 100 pages since probably January.
Okay.
So, but I have like with the chunk that I've been writing now, I'm going back to the beginning of that and working through that a lot. But like the beginning of the book, I haven't done like a full read through of where I am now and back to the beginning, if that makes sense.
Got it. And when I know that you like mentioned to Connor, like, oh, I want to share you my manuscript, but then at the same time, I don't want you to read it.
Yeah.
If you do share someone your manuscript, are you sharing just those 100 pages or are you sharing everything where you're up to now?
I am sharing the version of those 100 pages. And I'm not sharing this with like a lot of people, just like my family and like a few random friends. But yeah, I'm sharing the edited version of those 100 pages that I originally submitted. So I submitted an original 100 pages. They've since been edited. And that's what I'm kind of giving to people when I'm like, here, if you want to look at this. But I need to stop giving it to people. That's why, like, that's what I'm getting at, basically. Like, I now at this point in my writing, I just want everyone to wait till it's done.
Yeah, truly. You don't need other people's voices while you're doing it. You keep showing up every day, though, which in my understanding of writing, that is the hardest thing. That if you can overcome that, you'll get to the end of the book. Just showing up every day, even if it's you get 5 minutes of writing. Mm-hmm. It, like I read a lot of Kurt Vonnegut stuff and he always talks about writing, too. It's just showing up every day is the way to get it done.
Also, like getting past the shit that you're inevitably going to write. Like,
yes.
If you're like, I will pay you $1 million to read what you first wrote, the first 20 pages that you ever wrote, I would maybe decline.
Yeah.
It is such trash.
Yeah.
But like, I think the thing about writing is people get so discouraged by just like the shit that you're dumping on the page.
Yeah.
Keep going and you can just come back and completely rework the beginning.
How often do you have to have like sessions with your editor for like them to... like look at what you've already done? And is it like they just annotate your Google Doc or do they just call you and just say, this is what I think needs to be fixed? Or how does that work?
Every editor works very differently. But I would say I send pages to my editor like once every 3 months or something. And then I'll just, it's not, I think with a story like this, that's so, it's a very specific comedic voice, it's hard to edit something like that. So the edits aren't very like heavy. It's a lot of like spacing and grammar, which I need help with. So that's but I know a lot of people work differently.
And you know the ending already, correct?
The ending was like the first thing that I knew.
Right. Yeah. So now you're sort of, does that feel better that you sort of just can now plot which route you want to take to get there? Yeah,
theoretically, it should be very easy for me to just like write based off of my outline. But for whatever reason, I'm just like writing one word an hour. But it's getting there.
How was Channing's live stream?
Oh, Matt.
It looked like a bash.
It was so fun, but we had technical difficulties.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It cut out. It completely stopped at some point.
Oh, no.
But I only got to sing one of my numbers, which I honestly wish I didn't even get to sing that. I completely botched it. No, I only got to sing Sirius from Legally Blonde, the musical.
Right.
I was doing Warner's part. And I was always sounding so good when I was singing along with him. But when it came to just doing the instrumental without his vocals accompanying mine, horrible. Like, it's too – I was like – very low.
Okay.
And it sounded very bad. So I was a little bit embarrassed.
That sounded good.
And then once the live already got shut down, we went live on my personal Instagram because I was like, I want to do Bop to the Top. And so we did that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that was the bonus feature.
So that was a bonus feature.
Can I ask one question about the book again?
Yeah, of course. Sorry.
Cover art.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you've thought about or discussed, or is that we're going to put that aside until the manuscript is done?
That is something that I've thought about and discussed.
And how are we feeling about it so far?
Good.
Okay. All right. We can leave it at that.
Do you get to pick from multiple artists' renditions of the cover, or is it one artist who makes different renditions of the cover?
I actually don't know. I'm not very far along in the process. All I've really done has been like, here are covers that I love. Here's the vibe I want.
Cool.
Here you go.
There's a really good TED Talk about book covers by Chip Kidd.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a fun job to have because it's like, what does your story look like? And he gets to bring all of those to life. And he has such a creative process to it. I think
The cover is important. We have the phrase "Don't judge a book by its cover" because
people always do.
Yeah, people do. That's why we have the phrase.
I think you can.
Like, we're living in a time where a lot of book covers kind of are starting to look the same too. You want it to stand out, but you don't want it to just look like every other book cover. Yeah,
especially in the rom-com space.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's something that I really want to do differently.
There's a blog that I follow that posts the best 100 book covers every year, and some of these book covers just look, they're like pieces of art. So I can send it to you too, maybe for some inspo.
I guess this is Barnes and Noble, but I would go to a museum of just book covers.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amazing. Yeah.
That would be cool.
I like, some of the most fun that I had in this process was just going to Barnes and Noble and taking pictures of covers that I liked for inspo.
What are your least favorite type of book covers? I know mine.
I mean, I don't love like the romance, like cartoon.
That was exactly what I was going to say. The cartoon characters where it's like the couple like standing there and it looks like a cartoon.
Like the ice hockey guy?
Icebreaker?
Yeah.
I think they just know their market so well at this point and they know it sells.
Icebreaker, they had to change the cover because a lot of parents were getting upset. You know, have you
I've
read
only
Icebreaker?
Seen the, like, I know the book. Yeah. I haven't read it. But I've seen the character one with the hockey, but there was a different one?
Yeah, they had to change it.
Can I look up the original really quick?
The original is just the cartoon characters. No, they changed it to a new one. There's a new one out, so you won't see those little cartoon characters anymore.
The parents were upset about the cartoon characters?
Because parents were buying it for their like young teenage daughters, thinking it was this silly little cartoon teenage book.
Understood.
It looks a little Captain Underpants-y.
Heavy smut.
Understood.
It's heavy smut.
Understood.
So now it's like a cross-stitch knit fabric that just says Icebreaker.
With
no characters on it, and it's a different vibe.
Okay.
Yes.
I wonder if like we're moving in a direction of like putting ratings on books.
I think we should for like, I don't know, maybe.
They kind of do already. If it's a New York Times bestseller, they'll put the bestseller sticker on it. But are you saying they'll put like a Goodreads?
Like for smut.
Like a PG-13
kind of thing? Oh, ratings like, I think like a Goodreads score.
Yeah, no, I mean like R. Like this is not suitable for children under 16.
Were you allowed to watch rated R movies or PG-13 movies as a kid?
Yes. I really like had no rules because I didn't do anything bad. The only thing I was not allowed to watch was Juno.
Because why? Just teen pregnancy?
Teen pregnancy. Which was like so random. I was allowed to watch like so much worse stuff. And to me, like watching Juno now, I'm like, why was I not allowed to watch this? Like this was not going to make me want to get pregnant.
Yeah, she doesn't really make it seem like a cool thing. Right. She's a cool teen.
Yeah, but yeah. I always found that interesting. Juno. And I didn't watch it. I took that very seriously. But I was always like, please let me watch Juno. Please let me watch Juno. And I think I was able to when I turned like 13 or something.
Okay.
Or 14.
Okay.
But I was really interested in the book cover stuff too, because I feel like that's just such a like, it seems like it should be a simple thing, but it's hugely consequential.
Yeah.
And probably really fun too. Like just thinking about it, talking about it, looking at different versions. Like I think it's probably such a fun process that's different from sitting there and just like grueling at a blank page for months and months and months at a time. It's like a little bit of a break.
Do you ever attend like book tour events of authors that you do like? Have you ever gone and like met an author that you really do enjoy in person, or is that kind of not your thing?
I mean, everyone's gonna hate me
okay
for this, but I've been open about the fact that I loved in high school Colleen Hoover. I really did it.
You went to appearances of Colleen Hoover?
I was like, when I was 17, she has this one book called Hopeless. No one talks about it, but it was literally like reading like Pretty Little Liars, Lifetime movie type of like good shit, like that good stuff. And it got me back into reading because it was just so entertaining.
Mm.
And no one talks about that book when they talk about her. But yeah, I went to I literally followed Colleen Hoover all around New York City when I was 17 because I knew she was going to be at some event and I couldn't get tickets. And my friends and I were like, this was before anyone like knew who she was.
Yeah.
But my friends and I were so obsessed with her that we went and followed her. And then I also went to a signing at a later date.
What did you say when you walked up to Colleen and did she already have the book or did you bring the book for her to sign?
I brought my Kindle. She signed my Kindle.
The back of it?
Yeah.
No, the front screen.
You still have it to this day?
No, I don't have that one.
Oh, no.
I know. Well, they wear it off. Yeah. Wore off. Any wear it off. See my grammar. I don't know. But yeah, I really loved her in high school.
Wow.
And people get mad at me when I say that, but I'm not. I can't rewrite my history.
Did you go to any midnight releases for books?
Do they do that?
No, because I late to Harry Potter.
Oh.
I read the first three when I was very young, like too young to be going to midnight releases. And then when the fourth one came out, I was, I don't know, in like second grade or something, very young. And I was like, it's too long. Mm. I can't do it. And so I didn't start reading Harry Potter in full until I think the seventh book was already out. So I restarted in high school.
Yeah.
So I missed kind of that like Harry Potter midnight release parties.
Were a time. They were a moment in
But I
time.
Went to the midnight movie.
Okay, releases. Yeah. This still counts.
I don't think I ever went to a Hunger Games one. I will be going to a midnight release party of the sixth ACOTAR book.
Okay.
That should that ever be announced.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What kind of party would that be? Would you dress up in costume?
I can't do it.
When is the sixth ACOTAR book due?
No one knows.
Oh, boy.
Mm-mm. It's like very much like a big unknown in the book community.
And when's the movie coming out?
No one knows.
Oh, no. They haven't even started production on it?
It was scrapped at Hulu, which I think is good.
Okay. They need to.
I'm excited for it to get picked up somewhere else.
Okay.
Yeah. But no one knows what's happening with that series. And I'm just so excited.
We'll be right back after a quick word from today's sponsor, Apostrophe.
Mike, you know, I'm in my 30s. Take a lot of photos. And lately, I've been looking at photos of myself, and I've been crushed. I've been devastated. I see wrinkles. I see fine lines that are forming on my face, and I don't even recognize myself. But I have become a new man lately. I've actually now have been loving the photos that I see of myself, all thanks to Apostrophe.
Well, you're right, Matt, because feeling confident in your skin starts with getting expert care. That's why we're excited to partner with Apostrophe. Whether you're dealing with acne, signs of aging, dark spots, Apostrophe helps you get access to the right treatments for your skin.
Apostrophe is an online platform that connects you with an expert dermatology team to get customized acne and dermatology treatment for your unique skin. Through Apostrophe, you can get access to oral and topical medications that use clinically proven ingredients to help clear acne.
All you have to do is simply fill out an online consultation about your skin goals and medical history, then snap a few selfies, and a dermatology provider will create a customized treatment plan just for you. Apostrophe offers access to prescription treatments for all types of acne, from hormonal acne to facial acne, and even back, chest, and butt acne. Treat breakouts from head to toe. We've been using Apostrophe for months now. Their whole experience is just so pleasant, top to bottom, from the first quiz that you take through getting the packaging. All the products are so amazing. I truly just love seeing it on my countertop every day. I'm excited to use it. And we strongly, strongly encourage you to check out Apostrophe.
And I love the unboxing experience too. You know, there's such cute postcards and personalized stickers that come on the prescription bottles. I love it. Well, we have a special deal for you, our audience. Get your first visit for only $5 at apostrophe.com/hoot when you use our code HOOT. That's a saving of $15. This code is only available to you, our listeners. To get started, just go to apostrophe.com/hoot and click get started, and then use our code HOOT at sign up, and you'll get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode.
And now, back to the show. Are you going to do a book tour, do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah, it will be.
That's very cool. I see a lot of TikToks of it'll be just like a guy at a book signing, but there's no one there. And then that book, and then that TikTok will get like 500,000 plays. Mm. And then that guy hits the bestseller list. That, I wonder sometimes cynically, like, is that planned? We're like, hey, we're just going to film you alone in the Barnes and Nobles.
Oh, interesting.
Have someone upload this to make it look like you need help. And I feel like that's now a trend on TikTok. But am I like, or like my mom's store is not getting any customers, and then that'll get 500,000 likes.
I could see people doing that now.
Some people are leaning into that.
Do we think
that
that's now like a marketing campaign?
Now it might be.
Some are real, some are fake. It's good to identify when.
I feel like the author's ones are real. There's just, you could just see.
You can see the defeat.
Yeah.
That would be so hard.
Just like a stack of books and just a guy at a Barnes and Nobles, people walking by, the guy's like checking his phone and just no one's there.
I would have a tough time if I was in a bookstore and I saw an author just sitting alone with all their books they're trying to sell.
Yeah.
I definitely would go over and go, tell me what your book's about.
But then what, do you buy it?
Probably.
$32, whatever it is for the
hardcover. I don't mind because I don't see it that often, you know?
Yeah.
You're out there trying to sell a book. Who knows?
I've never seen an author signing in person. I don't know. I've never been to a store where they had one, but it seems like it's a great experience. They get to read a passage.
Yeah.
That's cool. I think it'll be really fun.
I'm excited. I'm really excited for everything to come.
You and Connor are doing a live show soon?
Mm-hmm.
Well, are you dreading it? I know that you're not that big of a fan of doing like
you
live
know,
stuff.
I'm very nervous.
Whose idea was it? Who changed your mind? When is it happening?
It's happening on April 9th. I'm trying to switch my mindset to be excited. But basically what happened was we did a like live, like a brand deal that was in front of people. And I did it. And so I think that was just like, okay, she can do it.
Yeah.
So.
Do you think there will be more after this?
We'll see how this one goes.
This was, I'm just asking the people's questions here, Brooke.
Yeah. We'll totally see how this one goes. Who knows? Maybe I'll love being up on that stage.
Are you planning like a show, or is it going to be more of just like a live podcast? Or TBD?
Yeah, good question. TBD.
Because like Ben and Emil do a live show and they sort of like plan stuff out. They have like a slideshow in the background.
I don't see it being that.
Yeah, not like
I
a full
I see it being more of like a live
Because Connor also has a ton of live experience too. Yeah. So I feel like you'll be in good hands safety wise where like it's not just like Brooke, here's a light, here's a microphone, entertain for an hour. I think it'll be okay.
I pray. Really?
Is it sold out? Can I come to it?
I think so.
Oh.
I think it's sold out, but okay. I can see if I can. I might know someone.
See that. Okay.
I'd rather just let them do their thing.
Like, as in not be there?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be there.
Why?
Yeah, I don't blame you.
I don't want to make Brooke or like them nervous, you know?
Oh, would you be nervous if like people you knew were there?
I feel like you've said
I mean,
that.
At this point, people, my friends are coming.
I think that's how you think. Oh, the
people are coming. So it's like.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I guess in a perfect world, no one I know would be there, but also no one I don't know would also be there.
April 9th, clear the schedule, folks.
Okay, I got a bunch of like fan questions. You know, treat these as just kind of like quick.
Okay.
We don't need to spend too much time on them.
Okay.
And if you have no comment, that is okay. People are a little curious on your take of Nikki Blonsky.
Nikki.
Yeah, Nikki.
It's like, it is so entertaining.
The cameos.
A lot of old interviews are coming out of the Hairspray press tour.
Yes.
And I mean, just her on Wendy Williams.
Right. And so, cause Wendy Williams asked her, wait, do you think like Vanessa and Zach are like.
No.
Going to be together? She goes, no.
Sorry, V. Ain't gonna happen. Love you, girl, but it ain't happening. I love it. I love it. Like, we just don't get that kind of entertainment anymore. And who could blame the girl? Like, she is in a romantic situation with Zac Efron. Zach's kind of feeding into it. He's definitely feeding into it on the press tour. Like, Kiss. Did you see that? Tough watch.
Kiss, like what, on a talk show, on a red carpet?
I think it was like Good Morning America or something. And someone was like, give her a smooch. And they like made out. I would be experiencing the same level of delusion as Miss Nikki. Who could blame her? She was very just like clearly in love with Zach. And I would imagine like watching these now, I would imagine like Zach probably had her number blocked.
Yeah, a little bit. She probably pushed it. Did everything kind of go downhill with her after that airport incident?
Yeah, I'm just learning about the airport incident. I definitely think so. And I also think, I kind of feel bad. Like, there's definitely something going on there.
Yeah, it's just kind of sad how, like, Hollywood really chewed and spit her back out.
Yeah.
And she's just, like, what, she's a hairdresser now, just doing cameos?
I don't know. Is she a hairdresser?
I thought she was, like, doing some cosmetology for a bit. I don't know if she's actively doing it now or if cameos are.
I mean, she's probably making a ton on Cameo.
Definitely.
But, yeah, I also am, like, curious, like, she was unknown. So she was cast in Hairspray without any prior, like, film
just
experience.
Right off like the street.
So she must have been very talented. Her voice in the film is incredible. I don't know how she sounded live, but I would assume she was very talented in mm-hmm. person as well. She seems to have lost that ability.
I know.
Which I'm like, what happened there?
I'm very curious. Yeah. And I want to know more. I think there needs to be like a Nikki Blonsky like documentary.
Yeah.
Or her just to give a tell all.
Apparently there is some sort of documentary.
On Nikki?
Yeah, but like from a long time ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Like a YouTube deep dive or like a Hulu
special?
Like
an actual
special?
Like Lifetime documentary or something. I have to look into it.
I just want to see a video footage of that airport fight.
Is there some?
No, there's none. I've tried to look into it and I can't find any. Okay, that's your take.
That's my take.
Okay, dream Broadway show and who would you select to play each main and supporting role? You don't have to do like a full deep dive on it as well.
Whoa. Right. Whoa.
You could like revive anyone that's like any show that's off Broadway.
Let's bring Rent back.
Okay.
Oh my God. Okay, so let's do Jonathan Groff as Mark.
Love it. Has he ever played that role?
No, not that I know of.
He would kill it.
He would kill it.
Okay.
Whoa. I will be Mimi.
Okay, right. Out tonight.
I don't mind. I will be Mimi. Oh my God, who would be? Idina Menzel can be Maureen again. That's perfect.
Okay.
Who would
what about
be
the rocker guy? Roger?
Roger. I'm in such a Christian Borle phase because I've been so obsessed with Legally Blonde the musical. Do you know who he is?
No. Christian really? Borle? Yeah. Is he young?
No, not right now.
Okay.
He was.
But he could do Roger well?
No, but no. I would like him to be Roger.
Okay.
Maybe, no, I don't think.
Okay.
But I just need to see him right now. Honestly, I would, I don't know if Jonathan would be the one for Roger either, but.
No.
I need to put Christian in it so he can just be Roger.
Can we get Andrew Garfield to roll in there?
Oh my God. Okay. Let's just do him as Roger.
Okay.
Andrew Garfield could also do like Angel.
Matt. Yeah.
Like he would do it and it would be a 10 out of 10. I don't know if it would be like politically correct or if, you know, community would allow him to do it, but I think he could knock it out of the park.
I completely agree. And he's like very in touch with. He played Pryor in Angels in America. Are you familiar?
I love Angels in America, the play. I've read it, and I love the HBO one.
Love it. Love. We watched that in school.
Oh, yeah.
High school.
Yeah.
And we did Angels in America, and I fell in love with it. And Andrew's version is available to watch somewhere.
Oh, okay.
Maybe HBO. I don't know.
I see clips of it on TikTok
sometimes.
Him
as Pryor, remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he could definitely kill Angel. I don't know where we're all standing on. I don't know. But yeah, I would love to see him in that role.
Me too. I mean, I feel like I don't even know the new like Broadway top
Darren
people.
Criss.
Okay. Darren Criss could play Angel's partner. What's his name?
Collins.
Nigel.
Collins.
Collins. Is his name not Nigel? Who's Nigel?
Nigel is not in the film.
Collins.
/ show. Yeah, but I need more women. I don't feel like I need Lea Michele. I don't feel like Lea Michele is like giving rent to me right now.
Anyone from the new Wicked musical?
Yeah, let's throw Cynthia Erivo. She could be Joanne.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Perfect Joanne.
Yeah, that's good. Okay.
You know what's kind of crazy is we'll probably get to a point in our lifetimes where like AI will be able to build that for you, where you can type in, I want to see Rent with these characters and these voices, and you can throw on VR and watch it.
Oh yeah, that'll be some fans.
That is, I will, like, the day that I'm able to like create my delusions like and bring them to life will be a very dangerous day for everyone.
I think it's gonna be exciting.
Destiny wants to know, have you heard this song "Bout Me" by Dom Inarella, aka the yes. young man from I'm Addicted to This Young Man, also aka the Nemo Where's My Dad kid?
Yes.
You have heard it?
Yeah. Thoughts? Have you? He's a talent.
I know that he's released a song and I know about the Nemo thing, but it's good. Do you think like what he's like, is he trying to be like a Justin Bieber?
I mean, I think so. And I think he could be, I think he needs like that Usher
mentor.
Like, I think he needs someone writing his songs.
Oh, to really kind of take him under his wing and like get him like the
good
production.
I think he needs
production.
A mentor.
Okay.
A mentor.
Well, good luck to Dom. Rebecca wants to know what perfumes and / fragrances are in your rotation as of current?
As of current, I have been wearing the Kylie.
The Kylie.
Jenner one because I smelled it on my friend, Sodi.
Oh, yeah.
And
Sodi
I was like, you smell
great.
So good. And she got me the perfume, which was so sweet. I don't know which one it is, but it's so good.
Okay.
And then I still love Glossier You. I feel like those are my two mains. Thank you for asking.
Rebecca, thank you for the question.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Rachel wants to know, what was your favorite childhood website? Club Penguins, Webkinz, etc.
Club Penguin and Webkinz.
Okay.
Now, I didn't do Neopets.
Tamagotchi,
yeah. But they did have a website later on, but I was mostly
Tamagotchi
focused
was more
on that.
Yeah, but it's like a digital pet.
Okay, right.
Yeah. I was big into Club Penguin, and I can't even share the amount of Webkinz I had. I was spoiled rotten by my grandma.
Now, Webkinz, like, did you... You had to buy a Webkin to add them to your website, right?
Yes.
Okay.
But I feel like with modern day... Or I don't know if they've gotten it under control now, but there was like a period of like people like giving out the codes.
Yeah. Could you just go into a store and like look at the code and then go home and type it in?
You'd have to like rip it open.
Oh,
it was sealed.
Okay. And then there were mini games on Webkinz that you would play, right?
Yeah. I remember going into the mines every day.
Oh, yeah. And there would be that little dog.
Yeah. He wasn't little. He was like a hot guy.
Okay. He was like a hot, sexy dog.
Like a hunk. Yeah. And I don't remember what we were mining for, but I loved that. And also I loved the mines on Club Penguin.
Oh, you could mine as well on Club Penguin.
You had that like cart. Did you not play?
I didn't play. I was a Coke Studios kid, which was like Club Penguin.
I've never even heard of
Coke Studios was like these like little cool kids, and you would have this like room you would set up. You would get codes from Coke bottles.
Oh, like Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola caps. You'd enter in the codes and you could get stuff to decorate your room, and you could go to other people's rooms and host little DJ parties. It was very cool, but looked just like Club Penguin.
Okay,
yeah.
Love.
Yeah, that was fun. But same type of like web community.
Love
but Club
that.
Penguin was like a little, past my time.
Someone on Club Penguin told me, a penguin told me they were Zac Efron, and I was like, I agree. I completely believe you. I completely believe you.
Did you maintain a relationship with this, or was it a
one-day
thing?
Well, it's tough because you can add someone as a friend. Yeah, I actually think I did. We were friends.
Yeah, so you'd catch up.
But I don't think he ever logged back on or something. Something went, we didn't stay in touch for some reason. But I obviously told everyone, like, I know Zach.
This is like the boomers also on Facebook that
yes,
are like,
exactly.
You know, Justin Timberlake needs $500 in Target gift
Jennifer
cards.
Jennifer Aniston needs MacBook Pro from Show Friend. Yeah. Totally.
And Crystal wants to know if the quality of Hinge likes have gotten better for you.
No, thank you. I had to delete it.
Oh, the app is gone.
Yeah, the app is completely
gone. Any other dating apps that are still on your phone?
No.
None.
Raya, okay. Were you ever on Raya?
Cannot get on.
Oh, we've talked about this.
Oh, wait. Cannot get on because no.
Cannot get approved.
Oh, right.
It took me years. I have 45 referrals.
Okay. 45 referrals and still. Do people still get on it to this
day? I emailed. I said, please take me off the wait list. So then I got back on. Still nothing. I've done like all the hacks that people, I like at this point, it's just like an ego thing. Like I need to get
That's
on it.
So bizarre.
Yeah.
Have you found any human being that actually works there to reach out to?
Mm-mm.
Hmm.
There was a human being on the other end of my email. Like, please take me off the wait list.
And with like a name and a.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe it's some LinkedIn deep dive. Maybe email the CEO and be
I
like,
can't,
hey.
Like, I can't go that. Crazy. I can't make it seem like I care that much, even though I do.
I think there's some glitch with your profile because I'm on there. There's no reason why you should not be on there. Like, it's ridiculous.
My sister is on it.
See, that's what I'm saying. There's probably a glitch in your profile of some kind.
Like, was in LA a few months ago, downloaded it, got on the same day.
Oh, no.
Yeah, 8 years younger than me.
How do you feel about that?
Bad.
Yeah. That would really hurt my feelings.
Yeah, it hurt my feelings.
Absolutely not. Yeah. You need to find out where Raya headquarters is, and we might need to go knock on a few doors.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Wait, what'd you say?
We can egg it. Yeah. I also, I don't know how closely, like, Raya Incorporated is paying attention, but I, like, talk about it and, like, who's on it and all that stuff, so maybe they have me blacklisted, but I don't think
they... Oh, they don't like when you reveal who's on it.
Right, I know that.
Uh-oh.
I definitely am doing faux pas, for sure.
Like, if you had a Raya profile, what would your song be on your profile?
Think like it's tough because like my gut is saying 3090.
Okay, right.
I don't.
Do you think it like starts immediately right when you scroll? It's like stop the clock.
They don't autoplay the music anymore.
Oh, they don't.
No,
man.
No. It just shows it at the bottom.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I felt like MySpace. I loved like you know when you would go to someone's MySpace and the song would automatically start and you got like a sense of who this person was.
Yes.
It would just give you chills.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally. Mm-hmm.
You're not missing out, Brooke.
I know that. It would be nice. But I would want to do 3090, but I feel like that would put me in too much of a box or like it could repel someone right off the bat.
Do you have an idea for what your little profile bio would read?
No.
I think that's that's what I think most people. Mine just
I don't
says,
know like what Raya really even looks like.
It's not great. I will say when I did I put together a little Excel spreadsheet of all my dates I went on. And
I'm sure you did.
One of the data points I looked at was how I met different people. So it would be Raya, Hinge, Matt setting me up, meeting them out at a bar, friend of a friend. Dating apps, pretty low on the list in terms of first and second dates. Really getting set up with friends, meeting people in real life, going to events, going out on a Saturday night leads to way better results than just like swiping, hoping. So for what it's worth, you know, you're not really missing
out.
Yeah,
I also haven't found anyone in real life either, though. So
yeah, but neither have I. But I'm at least you're saving money. I'm spending money on all these apps every month and then going on these awful first dates. So it's just like,
someone did have a question and was curious. Have you two ever kissed?
No.
Oh, okay.
I feel like people say that because we're both Jewish and they're like, they must be together.
Okay.
Like when you only know like two gay people and they're like, they have to be together.
I genuinely, when I read it, I was like, I'm not going to ask that, but I just did it.
No.
But then I was like, maybe I'll have like just a couple years ago.
Like, that's my brother.
On like a summer day. Like, I don't know.
Me and Brooke are
not. On a summer day.
Nothing serious, but just like by the pool for fun. Not on a winter day either.
No.
Okay. I don't know.
No, y'all never kissed. Okay.
Thank you for asking.
Next question. Oh, Brooke, you mentioned this on Connor, or you and Connor's podcast, and you said when you sleep to picture a hot version of you going to sleep. Who told you that?
I know we had the conversation.
Yeah.
I said it, right? Didn't I say Matt King?
No, you didn't. You didn't say my name. But Brooke, this is something where I have never told anybody that as a way of like a sleeping tip. It's just, I don't know.
But I didn't learn that from you.
Oh.
I just have, you said, I do this. And I said, oh my God, I've done that.
Oh, but okay.
It wasn't like I didn't steal it from you, but we were able to connect via that. But I don't know. You brought it up. You definitely brought it up first.
Yes.
And I was like, wait, I've never heard anyone else do that.
Yeah. And I've never like talked about that with anyone else, but you brought it back up on the like, yeah, last podcast. And
picture
I'm like,
a hot version of yes. yourself falling asleep.
Yeah.
I don't know if you haven't done it. Like, it might not even make sense.
Are you like,
it's a way to like reduce kind of anxiety and thoughts for me.
But are you like standing on the side of your bed looking at yourself, or are you in your own body pretending that you're already hotter
than you are? I guess
I'm
looking at myself from above.
I'm still in my head,
so you
but
feel,
I'm picturing my body is just like the best it's ever looked or has been, and I just deserve a really great night's sleep because I'm just so
hot,
attractive and hot. It helps me just like calm my brain down. I feel just like happy with myself, so my thoughts aren't racing. I'm not having anxiety. I'm just like satisfied, I'm hot, and I deserve to sleep. That's weird, but it works.
It serves a different purpose for me.
Okay.
For me, it's like I'm very hot right now, so anyone that I think about will be in love with me.
Okay, you know? Yeah.
Because I need to tell myself like stories to fall asleep. So it's like, oh my God, Andrew Garfield at a coffee shop? Of course he's going to fall in love with me. I'm so hot right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, true.
So you guys are falling asleep with big smiles on your faces.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just feeling like a good sense of like glow.
Huh.
It's kind of like you haven't read... like Twilight, like when you turn into a vampire, like you just like get yourself but hotter.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Huh. And you both discover this independently.
Independently,
yeah.
Came together. And then once Matt brought it up to me, I started doing it a lot more.
Yeah. I've never brought that up with anybody else except you.
Really?
It's just strange hearing
I'm
you like
honored.
Bring it back up and I'm like, yeah, I yeah, it's just, it's wild.
It's interesting. I was expecting a lot of people, or at least some people, to be like, I do that too. Uh-uh.
But it works, I think.
I agree.
Try it. And maybe it will help.
I've learned a lot about my sleep from my Oura Ring, which is...
Are you into Oura Rings or Whoop bands or any of that?
I don't have
biometrics
like that.
To see your sleep score.
I would be curious, but like not curious enough to like set it up on my phone or anything like that.
Do you have health anxiety?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course.
Because I'm on the subreddit, and some people, it gives them more anxiety getting this data.
Yeah.
Because they're like, wait, I didn't know that my sleep was only 80% good. I thought I was sleeping well, or like, it says that my heart rate is higher. And so people get more anxious from it. I am the opposite. I do not have health anxiety.
Okay.
I love the data, and I'm discovering that my sleep is awful. So I'm doing a lot of work to fix that. But maybe I'll try this pretending I'm hot thing.
Yeah, try it. It really does work. But I haven't slept through the night in like years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I used to be such a good sleeper, and now.
You wake up in the middle of the night?
Yeah.
And then do you get on your phone, or you're just like
alone
with your thoughts?
I try not to. And sometimes I'll go right back to sleep, but sometimes I'm up for like hours.
Are you taking any supplements at night? Some magnesium?
Sometimes
glycinate?
I'll take a melatonin. And if I take a melatonin, I will wake up in the middle of the night. Oh, like, wow. I'll go to sleep quickly, but...
It'll wake you up.
I will wake up, like, fully energized.
Do you ever try to, like, oh, go on?
Well, a reason why is a lot of times these melatonin gummies have, like, or what are you taking, pills or gummies or
gummies.
What? So the gummies have sugar in them, and then your body is processing a little bit of the sugar, and it thinks it's, like, digesting a meal, and that's why you wake up in the middle of the night.
Why would they make them with sugar, then?
Because these people don't care. You got to do your own research and figure this shit out. I've been working so hard to, like, discover all these things. But magnesium glycinate. Heard of it? Fan of it? Tried it?
I've heard of it.
life-changing.
Really?
You will sleep through the night and wake up feeling refreshed.
Okay.
I'll send you what I got. It's incredible.
Oh, and you just take one pill before bed? I can't with these supplements. Like, take 3 in the morning, 3 at lunch, and 18 with dinner.
It's, yeah, that's too many. Just make the pill with
just
everything.
Just make the pill with everything.
Right,
with it.
Make it one pill.
Yeah.
You could take, like, I would say 2, like, with dinner, and it's just a... Because a lot of people are magnesium deficient, so if you just take magnesium, you take it, right?
Yeah, I take magnesium glycinate. I take it 30 minutes before bed, though.
Yeah, that's what you want to do. It'll change
and a little
life.
Bit of L-theanine as well.
Yes. There you go.
Okay.
And it pairs really well. Kind of rocks me to sleep.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I cannot sleep without it, but it's become part of my ritual to where if I don't have it...
Yeah, but it's just like taking a vitamin. It's not, like, addictive. Like, melatonin is... addictive, where if you take it too much, your body stops producing it, mm-hmm. and then it's even harder to fall asleep. But
Brooke, I did buy one of those, like, Kindle arm things that, like, you know, like the bendy yep. one that's, like, over my bed and stuff, and I have the whole remote.
How is
too.
It?
I enjoy it, but I feel really silly.
Really?
I do. I don't know. I feel like I'm just, like, in an old folks' home. Like, I'm in hospice, kind of.
My old room... And my old place looked like a hospital with that set up. It really
you know
did.
Yeah, because you're also, like, propped up on the pillows a little yeah. bit, so it kind of looks like you're in a hospital bed.
Really
looks
like
angle.
A hospital monitor.
And it's in dark mode, yeah. and I'm just clicking through it. I do love the reading experience of it, but I just... Well, Patricia always makes me, like, take it down every time.
Really?
She just thinks it looks a little yeah. bizarre in the room.
I get that. But I haven't set mine up in my new place.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You love Dream Street?
I love Dream Street.
Me too.
Baby down on Dream Street. I wish more people knew about it.
Me too. Like Sugar Rush. Oh.
What a fabulous song.
My heart's a rush.
You are my sugar rush. So good. I still listen to it to this day.
Didn't they reunite recently?
Yes, because one of them died.
But isn't that a damn shame that it takes for one member to
pass away? It's a damn shame.
And then suddenly we need to get back together. Because didn't he pass away from COVID?
Oh, I didn't know. It was during COVID, but I don't know if it was of COVID.
I think it was COVID
maybe.
Complications.
Oh, that's so sad.
Oh, yeah. You know, they started off as, like, two of the members were part of, do you know what Broadway Kids are?
Yeah.
Yeah, so two of the members of Dream Street were part of the Broadway Kids.
I had one of their albums
Me
in the car.
Too.
The
yes.
CD.
Yes.
Christy Carlson Romano was in it.
Oh, she was? I don't know if I probably had one from, like, 1994.
Or maybe that's something else.
I knew Fly Me to the Moon was on our Broadway Kids.
Seasons of Love was on mine, but maybe it was not Broadway Kids. But I would assume that's Broadway Kids.
It is. And the two members of Dream Street are in that Seasons of Love track of the Broadway Kids.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. What a treat.
Yeah.
Are you a big Jesse McCartney fan?
You know what? I was never like, oh my God, Jesse, but I loved Dream Street. I loved, like, Beautiful Soul,
yes.
Right Where You Want Me, all of his hits, but I was never, like, throwing myself on stage at a Jesse concert. But
right.
I was a fan. I guess just, like, when I think, like, I never reached, like, obsession level with Jesse, but I did love him.
I wanted to, you know, like, in the Beautiful Soul music video, how he's wearing, like, that little, like, sweat wristband that's, like, red, white, and blue.
Yeah,
I went to the Harlem Globetrotters, like, game one time, and I got one of those, and I would wear it because Jesse McCartney would wear it in the Beautiful Soul music video.
I was listening to it the other day, and I was like, if Jesse and I were together, and he came to me with this song, I wrote this song about you, I don't know how much I'd like that. I don't want a pretty face. Like, I don't want just another pretty face. Like, I just want you and your beautiful soul.
You're like, okay, so...
But you think, like, do you like the way I look at all or not?
Good
really?
Good point.
Thanks, Matt.
Good point, Brooke.
Yeah, I don't know if I would be super thrilled.
Baby, I'm loving you for anything. And they get in that disgusting pool. You remember, like, their car breaks down, they climb a hill, break and enter somebody else's property.
It's an abandoned house.
They break a law together, and they get in this disgusting,
so
algae-filled pool with just leaves everywhere. You can't even see the bottom of the pool. And then he's about to make a move. You know, he's, like, kind of walking up to her, puts his hands on the edge of the pool around her, and then his friends interrupt the
moment.
Damn.
And which one was in a bed? Was it Leavin'?
Leaving, never looking back again. Yeah, that one was a lot more sexual.
That was racy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a let it rain, let it rain.
Yeah. Great song.
Mm. Oh, the girl, that thing you got behind you is amazing.
Like, so I would rather that be written about me.
Yeah. Not about the soul.
Yeah.
It's more about the body.
I don't give a shit about my soul.
And
new topic.
Okay.
How do you feel about games at a party, at a social gathering? Do you like a game night? What's the Brooke Averick take on games?
I love games.
Like a fishbowl?
When I'm in the mood.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, though, recently, every time someone is like, let's play fishbowl, I'm like, no, please.
Oh, fishbowl.
But I do like games. But I don't know. Recently, I've just been wanting to talk about something else.
Would you be excited if someone was like, hey, we're going to have a game night. Do you want to come?
Yeah, if it was a game night, I'd be like, hell yeah.
Yes.
Okay. But sometimes recently at like hangouts, when someone's like, let's play fishbowl, I'm just like, let's
do
talk.
Anything else. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
I want to catch up with the people here I'm at the party with. This was not part of the plan that we were playing a game.
Right.
Right?
No, I hear that.
Right.
In a game night, though, are there specific games you want to play or don't want to play?
I hate Never Have I Ever.
Oh, yeah.
I will leave. And the person I will go to the bathroom for a really long time.
The person who suggests Never Have I Ever has some issues, because it seems like they just want to talk about something and get it off their chest.
Or like brag about something.
Yes, they want to brag about something.
Yes.
Completely. And as like a boring person, like I just like I never have anything to contribute.
Right.
And I always feel bad about myself.
Okay, never have I ever. I'll try to go with like some of the most basic like things.
It also seems just like it's always sexual and like we're not
in
sixth grade. Like played 7 minutes in it's just like.
Yeah.
I feel like it's people just. It feels a little immature to play Never Have I Ever.
I just really like, ugh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Never Have I Ever scrapped.
Yeah, I don't like Truth or Dare.
I don't like any
of those types of games.
Right.
I do love Would You Rather.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Bring out
and
some
fuck,
Would
Marry,
You
Kill.
Oh, yeah. Would You Rathers, Fuck, Marry, Kills. I could play those
like,
all
I
day.
I love those types of like thinking type of.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I love those.
It doesn't require too much thinking or effort.
Yeah.
It turns
but
into
fun
a
fun to debate.
Yes.
Yeah, debate.
Okay. Are we a board game, Settlers of Catan, Monopoly?
Not those two.
Okay.
I love Scattergories.
Oh, that's a fun one.
Scattergories.
I love Scattergories.
Bring back Scattergories.
I've been playing it
once and never had an opportunity to play it again.
I love Scattergories.
I'm a wizard
at it. Scattergories,
I believe that.
Different from Pictionary, or are they sort of off-brand of each other?
Completely
There's
no similarities.
There's no drawing in Scattergories.
You're given a category, and you got to write as many.
You
that
have
the
you get a letter. Let's say your letter is S, and you have different lists. So, like one of the lists, it will just be like
cities with an M,
restaurants, like national parks, just like a
presidents,
random shit, and you have to think of ones with an S.
Oh, gotcha. And it's like
with
a time
the letter
round,
that you're given, and it's timed.
Okay. And then what's Pictionary?
That's
like
where
charades,
you're given,
but with pictures.
Given a word in a dry erase board, and you're trying to like get people to guess that.
Gotcha.
Telestrations is really
fun. Oh, that's
fun.
That's
like Pictionary with the game telephone.
That's
to
really
where
fun.
You're given a word, draw it, and then you pass it on. So, but the person just sees the drawing and has to write what they think the drawing is.
And then they draw slowly. Oh, that's a great game.
That's really fun.
Yeah.
Love a Tapple. You guys know that one?
Tapple, is that that's like a word game?
It is like a plastic object where there's all 26 letters are buttons. And then you'll pull out a card and the card will be animals. And it goes around. So it'll be like the three of us. I'll start. If it's animal, I press the letter B and I write bear. Or I say bear. And then you would hit any letter, and you basically try to get to all 26 letters. And if you can't,
oh, Tapple,
Tapple,
oh, Tapple,
yes,
yeah, what
tapple,
did I say?
The big, no, you're
you
right. I'm thinking of you did say Tapple,
okay,
right? I'm thinking like a 90s game,
no, like
called,
the new one, the blue like, thing where you have to say the letters, and then if you don't say it in 10 seconds, you
I
get buzzed out.
I do love that game, I just wish they would turn the volume a little bit down, but there's no volume button on that damn thing. It's like boop, boop. And it's fucking obnoxious. It's a little too loud. It's at a fucking 12. Turn it down to a 5. It doesn't need to be that loud.
Thank you. Thank you, Matt.
Could not disagree more.
It's too loud.
It's not loud enough. When you're at a party, some people can't hear when the buzzer goes, and then some guy sneaks in the last round, and it's not loud enough. I agree there should be a volume control on it. I've never played it in a quiet room. It might be really loud. I don't know.
Gosh, it's, yeah.
I'm completely unfamiliar with Tapple.
It's fun.
It's really fun. It's a good little tabletop game. Throw it on the table, maybe get 4 to 5 people to do something. But it does require like an object, you know. Some of these games you just need a pen and paper.
Do you like to play MASH?
Love MASH.
MASH.
I love MASH.
It's like a classic kids game where it's you're more like a fortune telling game,
zap,
right?
Zap.
Let's say I'm mashing you right now. I would be like, okay, your wife, Patricia, and then like someone you would not want to marry, like a few good ones, a few bad ones.
Okay.
And then like place you live, a few good ones, a few bad ones, job, a few good ones, a few bad ones. And then we'd go through and like cross a certain amount out depending on what number you pick.
Got it.
And then your life is laid out for you. And
oh,
you,
so that's fun.
I would be like, okay, Matt, so you are marrying Susan Boyle and you are living in like Turkey. Like it's just like.
Yeah. And you make $5 a month. Yeah.
I do miss the golden age of Quiplash.
I've been playing Quiplash recently.
Do they have new games on there?
I don't know.
There are some really fun ones that aren't Quiplash.
It feels so COVID locked in my brain. Like that's when everyone was playing it.
I was obsessed with like an art dealer one.
Interesting.
Oh, and there's an alien one that's like Mafia that's so fun.
Oh,
I think it's similar to Spyfall.
You know what? I think I bought like the massive package of Quiplash. I probably spent like $50 on it.
Let's
play. I need to like revive it. I don't even know how I log in or find
it. Is fun to play with a group of funny people because then you actually get some laughs.
Playing with Tristan.
Funny?
It's like absurd.
Oh, yeah. It's the worst though where you think you are so funny and everyone in the room is like,
Yeah.
And you're like, who put that up there? Couldn't have been me.
And if just like poop and penis, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
We could be a little more creative than this, folks.
Right.
I discovered a game organically that we played at the pool party. You might have been there once called Battles. Do you remember this game?
Mm-mm.
With the drawings?
Yes.
Some kid just invented this game in New York City and I happened to be sitting next to him at a bar. I just saw these two guys drawing so intensely on the sheet of paper and it looked beautiful, this artwork, and it was like a airplane and a hammer and a sumo wrestler. And I was like, what are you guys doing? And it's this game where basically one person just starts by drawing any object. So let's say it will be a water bottle. And then the next object, you pass it to the next person and they just have to draw something that beats it in a battle. So for a water bottle, let's say I would do like a hydraulic press because that would beat that. And then like what beats a hydraulic press? You could do like a power outage, you know, lightning bolts strike the building and the power goes out. So that great game, very low pressure. You could play it like
just get creative.
Yeah. While you're hanging out, like at a dinner party, you're hanging out. It's not an active game where everyone's like, okay, guys, we're playing battles now. Everyone listen up. It's kind of just like
you pass it around.
Yeah. You just
you're
pass
creating
this, piece of
this
paper
fun
around.
Flow chart of doodles of things beating one another.
Interesting.
And then at the end of the night, you have this like drawing of just everyone's hilarious drawing going through the things.
It's kind of fun,
Brooke. Interesting. Okay. Yeah. I would have to see that one.
This didn't ring a bell from a pool party?
No, I wasn't there for that one.
Okay. You were there for it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe loved this it. Summer we'll get one going.
I love a scavenger hunt.
Okay.
I feel like I haven't been on a scavenger hunt in a long time. I'd love to go on
I've never been on one that's like throughout a city, you know, where it's like, hey, go get a sign of a, you know, mile per hour marker with an odd number in it or something. Like,
yeah.
I've done one in the house, but
I was obsessed with Pokemon Go.
Oh, you were out and about playing it?
Oh my God.
Really?
That was that summer of Pokemon Go. I lived probably like a 15-minute car ride from Philadelphia, but I was in the suburbs.
Yeah.
That was the most I've ever been to Philadelphia in my, like the city in my entire life. I would take the train to the city three times a week just to look for different Pokemon.
Pokemon kid though growing up?
I collected the cards, but like I didn't really know what I was doing. I just loved my binder and collecting something and the way they looked.
Did you watch the show?
Here and there.
Okay.
I liked Ash.
Dream Street did a Pokemon song.
Yeah, they did.
For the Pokemon 2000
movie. Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they did.
Totally.
It was on the CD.
Do you still have the app on your phone? Like, could you log back in and see how well you did?
I could. It's not on my phone, but I could re-download it and sign in.
Well, you think you still have your sign-in that's accessible?
Once they started adding like all the Neo Pokemon, I'm out.
Yeah, it got too complicated.
The classic 150, 151.
Right.
That's where I'm
in. After Mewtwo, that's it. That's
there's a Pokemon I have no clue what his name is.
Old Testament Pokemon.
Yeah.
None of this New Testament.
And I hated that there were some that were. Well, I guess maybe that's cool. But like, there were some that were like you could only get in Asia, and it's like I might never go to Asia.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, this is completely
inaccessible. Could you trade
though
to meet up with someone in person, like in the old games?
I don't think you could, at least when I was playing.
You know what I'd love for someone to do to me is just show me different Pokemon from the 150 Pokemon and say, what's this Pokemon's name?
Oh, God.
Because sometimes I want to think you I can actually get them.
Not a chance. I remember on the show,
but
they would show you the silhouette in between the commercial breaks.
Who's that?
Pokemon! It's Coffin!
Yeah, I remember that.
And so it turned out, actually, Pokemon Go was like a maps company, and they used all that data of people being in locations and then plugged that in, like sold it, because they had all the images of what all the streets look like. This like how they built Google Street View.
Okay.
Not Google, but like a different map company used Pokemon Go to just like get like millions of pieces of data about how the world looks. Pretty smart.
Wow.
Yeah. And then people were like upset about that, but I'm like, whatever, you got outside and played Pokemon Go. But yeah, that was truly like one of the best
that
summers
was so
before
fun.
It felt like the world kind of like started to suck a little bit.
Yeah.
It was so optimistic. And I mean, Hillary Clinton was like, Pokemon, go to the polls. Just everything seemed so innocent back then.
Truly.
But I feel like everyone says
and then
that.
I remember I was like, I'm so excited to get back to school to Boston and play. And then no one was playing. And then it kind of just died.
It really did die
yeah.
after that summer.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Some people still play it. My brother-in-law all the time is playing
really?
Pokemon Go. Yeah.
Playing Pokemon Go still?
Yes. Truly.
I had no idea they were still out there.
Yeah, they're out there. When we were in Boston, tons. But didn't know any of the Pokemon he was catching.
Oh, because it's
I
all
love
new
catching
ones?
Pokemon, but I don't like beating up the Pokemon to catch them. I just wish it was like, boop, I caught it.
No,
I
you
don't
have to
like,
battle.
Yeah, I don't want to battle. I don't like that.
I don't want to battle.
I don't want to battle. I just want to go, I found it, I got it. Let's move on.
You can get into bird watching then. As you travel, try to identify different birds.
Birds are like Pokemon, seriously. I've always thought that.
Very true, yeah. Brooke. Very true.
Bird watching seems like a great hobby.
I could see both of you getting into that.
Bird watching?
Yeah.
Oh, Matt, that's a blue-breasted whippoorwillow.
I can't imagine the rush of seeing like a very rare breed of bird.
Yeah. And it's a reason to travel to different places, go to your state parks.
I think you two should start getting into that.
Okay. Into bird watching?
Yeah, well, let's buy
you
some really nice.
You could do bird
nice
watching. That could be a whole episode.
Yeah, get some really nice binoculars.
Yeah.
Bird boys?
Yeah. What's up, guys? Welcome to the Bird Boys podcast.
I really see that for you.
Today we're looking at southeastern hen.
What is the state bird of Pennsylvania?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know?
No, I don't.
Do you know your state flower?
No.
Do you know your state slogan? The blank state? Like how California's is
the city of brotherly love.
That's Philadelphia. But no, that is a phrase.
Pennsylvania.
Like, what does it say on the license plate?
It's probably something very old school.
I have no idea.
We have the Garden State. And
I always forget,
Golden
like,
State.
That I live in Pennsylvania. Like, I feel like so, like, I'm from Philly or the Philadelphia area that I forget that that's also Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah.
Because Pennsylvania, to me, means something different.
Right. Allentown and Pittsburgh and these weird places. Not weird, but, like, not.
They're just not remotely, like, where I'm from.
Yeah. The Poconos, right? Is that Pennsylvania?
The Poconos. I went to camp there, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Poconos. You know about the Poconos?
I've heard about it.
Yeah. Hmm. Camp Ramah and the Poconos.
Oh, you went to a camp, like Jewish camp in the Poconos. Mm-hmm. Well, you really did the damn thing, Brooke.
I did the damn thing.
Still in touch with like your friends from camp? Did you have pen pals?
One.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have one person that I keep in touch with. But I was a horrible camper.
Oh, yeah.
Were you getting in trouble?
No, I was just desperate to leave.
Oh, you just didn't like being there?
No.
Didn't want to wake up with the rest of the gang?
No, and then I was miserable, tried to run away, told them, I like threatened to sue everyone. Like, I was like so horrible. And then the last like 3 days, I'd be like, this place is awesome. I love it here. And then I'd come back because I just, like the last 3 days was my last impression. I did that for 4 years until they were like, you're done.
You're done. We cannot have
you're
just
done.
An 11-year-old Brooke threatening to
done.
Sue. I will take all of you motherfuckers down.
Yeah. Yeah. They weren't letting me call my therapist. And I was like, this is a matter of health. I felt like a prison there. They were so, they wouldn't let me call anyone. My mom was like, can I please just talk to her? Because I was writing home being like,
they wouldn't let you talk to your parents?
No.
That does seem a little suspect.
They wouldn't. I told you're always allowed to call your parents if you get your period for the first time. I said, I got my period. Guess what? I got my period.
Every summer you get
they
your period for the first time.
They wouldn't let me call. Like, they really had me on lockdown. And then my brother got swine flu. And my dad came to pick him up and they tried to keep me from him. They were like trying to hide me and I burst out. they were holding me back. And I was like, please, I'm begging you to take me home. And they wouldn't take me. You wouldn't take me.
Oh my gosh.
Oh no. How old were you like during this time?
Too old to be doing all that. Yeah, like 12, 13.
Yeah, no, summer camp, if you don't want to be there, it is like going to prison.
It truly, genuinely.
You're just away from your family. You're on someone else's schedule. You're doing activities that you don't really care to do.
Especially at Jewish camp, no offense. Like, they're waking me up at 7:30 to pray. Hell no.
Couldn't on be my me. Summer vacation? Yeah, absolutely yeah. not. But then on your last day, you're probably like crying
of
and you're going to miss all your friends.
I would never say a bad word about the place.
Right, no. right. Yeah. Do you totally. Think you would send your kids to summer camp?
If they wanted to. But
I feel like nowadays, you're hopping on FaceTime if you need. You can do family visits. They're not as. Yeah, we grew up a little more.
But also, I imagine like maybe I will feel totally different as a parent.
Yeah.
But I feel like I would want to spend the summer with my kids.
Right. That was my parents' theory, too, is like they finally have a break from school. We're going to go send them to now be like, on another schedule.
Right.
Like, let them relax. Wake up whatever time you
day
want.
Day camp is good. Like, I loved day camp.
That's much better.
Yeah. I feel like I would want my kids to go to camp just to like build a sense of character.
Maybe
and, like,
for a
identity.
Few weeks. Like, but we were doing like 2 months.
Sleepaway summer camp. Yeah. And you're sleeping in some fucking cabin built in the 1700s with like. No air conditioning, one shower for every. It sucks.
Yeah.
It sucks. Maybe they're nicer now and they've done some like renovations, but it's like awful. I did not have a great experience.
I wish I did it. All I would do is watch that show Bug Juice on Disney Channel. It was like a reality
show. It's not
show.
That.
No, yeah.
Isn't that?
No.
What?
It's not.
It's worse?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, you just
well,
have, like,
some people, my brother to this day works at camp.
Oh, he loves
like,
it.
Like, that's his job. He like runs shit there. Like, he loved it that much.
Wow.
That is his, like,
I think it is a personality type
career.
Of people who like a camp.
Yeah.
Not I. Matt, you didn't miss out.
I see, like, these fun, like, adult summer camps that you can go on. But then again, I'm 32, and I'm married. I have no interest in
make your
in
own
doing
summer
that.
Camp.
Yeah, make my own. Yeah. I think so.
Maybe, like, if you went to, like, a Boy Scout camp with merit badges and you were
did that, but okay. I was with my dad. And everyone else was with their dad, most of them. I didn't
know, but you would have been better off like in a group with a bunch of people.
I did a Young Life sleepaway camp for a week without my parents, and it was with a bunch of my high school classmates.
That's about as long as you really want to be away.
Yeah, truly. I don't know. Yeah, maybe if a whole entire summer away from my parents would kind of crush me.
It's too long. Well, Brooke, thanks again for coming on our show.
Thank you so
this
much
was
for
such
having
a treat,
me.
Brooke.
It really
Thank
is
you guys.
Nice.
I always love coming on here.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Ugh. You just have so much fun stuff going on. So lovely to talk to you.
You're remarkable, Brooke.
You as well.
Constantly
remarkable.
Rooting for you. Really excited to see how things play out. Do you have anything you would like to plug or promote for the fine listeners and watchers of this podcast?
No.
Okay.
I'll do it. You can follow Brooke on Instagram and TikTok. Is your name still Lady Efron on there?
TikTok.
On TikTok, Lady Efron. Brooke Averick on Instagram.
Yeah.
She's got a book coming out, so follow her on socials for that.
That's true, Mike.
Host of
Thank
the Brooke
you.
And Connor podcast, so check out the Brooke and Connor podcast. Also follow them on socials. They post great clips.
That's sweet.
And check out Brooke on her live show April 9th if
no,
there are still tickets
no.
available. And her book tour when that comes out.
Surely. Thank
and
you, guys.
We'll see you next
Thank
time,
you,
everybody.
Thanks.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.